Hello, everyone, and welcome to Compliance Chats, a new podcast series intended to keep faculty and staff up to date on various compliance matters. My name is Lori Neal, and in today's episode, I am sitting down with UConn's ombudsman, Jim Wall. Thanks for joining me today, Jim.
Glad to be here.
When I think of a classical ombudsman, I think of someone who investigates a complaint, issues findings, and recommends action. But I understand that is not quite the case here.
That description is more of a European model of a government-type ombudsman. As a campus ombudsman at UConn, my function and sphere of responsibilities is quite a bit different. My primary goals and responsibilities are to provide assistance for faculty and staff in exploring options for addressing really any kind of problem that's affecting their work. So that's a pretty broad definition, and that's how I look at it. The idea when a university sets up an ombuds office is to support the idea of people working out problems informally or on their own or through dialogue in the early going, sort of providing resources on that end of things and saving the more formal processes like investigations and formal complaints and grievances as a latter resort. My website has a lot of information on the ombuds role on campus.
So you're not really a compliance officer at all then, despite our series being called Compliance Chats?
No, but I'm really glad to be part of a series like this because my office is truly part of the problem-solving system for UConn. I differ in that I don't have authority to make anyone on campus overturn a decision or power over anyone in an organizational sense. I don't participate in investigations or create or maintain records for the university. Also, the use of my office is voluntary. That's an important tenet of my work, that people who visit me stay in control of what the next steps are in addressing a problem. And if I bring up options to someone, it will be up to them to decide what the next steps are.
So the key here really is voluntary. What sort of issues do people bring to you?
Yeah, the majority of issues people bring up involve an issue with another person, and most of the time it involves a supervisory relationship or a problem between people with different levels of authority. While most of these visits are initiated by, let's say, the supervisee, several of my visits are with the supervisors looking for options of improving a relationship with someone that they supervise. Whether these types of interpersonal issues involve supervision or not, a lot of the concerns involve civility and respect, perceptions of bullying, fairness, and difficulties arising from the way people are communicating with one another.
After doing this for some time, what sort of discussions do you have with people that bring forward these types of conflicts in the workplace?
When I meet with people, I'm interested in what steps they've already taken, if any, and what responses they've gotten, and what are their goals, and what would they like to see change. It's important that one strategy for a change lines up with their goals. For some of the issues about treatment, for example, a conversation with their counterpart in a problem is what we spend some time talking about. We'll spend some time preparing for that conversation, both the logistics and the language of the conversation. Sometimes I'll participate in those conversations with their counterpart in a problem. We'll also discuss options of a more formal kind, filing a complaint with a compliance office or contacting someone higher up on the organizational chart, but also talk about whether those approaches meet one's goals in the situation. One thing I've been talking more and more with people is focusing on the idea of opposition rather than conflict. In our work life, we face opposition all the time to our ideas, to our behaviors, the work we produce, and we feel opposed to at the same things from others. I'm not ignoring that conflicts arise, but most of the time, conflicts result from a series of oppositional interactions. It's what happens during those moments of opposition that lead to conflicts. And changing the way people are treated and treat others can start with a more intentional way we communicate when we're expressing opposition to one another.
So it's really valuable to be aware of the difference between opposition and conflicts. And it sounds like that when individuals come to you, they're really in the driver's seat and they can make decisions based on the options that are available to them, and you're there to help them as a resource. In addition to directly assisting individuals, what are some things that you do that people may not realize?
Well, as a confidential resource for employees, I can receive information to bring forward to appropriate offices when people are uncomfortable bringing issues forward themselves. I can also ask questions of the university on behalf of people without revealing the source of the question. When I first arrived in 2013, I worked with the UConn administration to develop an office charter that describes the confidential nature of the office. Also, because the Ombuds Office does not report to another unit on campus, people feel comfortable passing on information or learning what other units on campus can be helpful to them. Safety issues, how to suggest a new idea to decision makers, and amending policies are some examples I've been involved with thus far.
It sounds like it is really vital that your office is independent, and because of that, you can do some unique things to really impact change at the university. How does that change actually happen, and what role do you play?
There's a couple of ways of looking at that question. A lot of the people I visit with are looking for change in a situation that's affecting them, but not others around campus. A lot of the time, change can happen by finding the right person or office with the responsibility to make changes, thinking about what are the interests of that person or office, and asking the right question and in the right way. That's sometimes the focus of my meetings, and taking that approach can at least remove the uncertainty about whether change can happen, if not instigate the change itself, simply by asking the question. Broader change, like cultural change, is a very different type of challenge. I read somewhere that if you want to understand a culture, watch what bystanders do. I'm really encouraged by the emphasis the university is putting on bystander awareness and training. Having a campus dialogue like the one we've been having about civility is another way to initiate culture change. Really, culture of an organization is about norms and what people tolerate as acceptable or unacceptable. On a college campus, those norms can change faster than in other parts of society, so it makes it hard to keep up with on the one hand, but it also makes culture more pliable and ready to change.
Where is your office located, and how can faculty and staff find you if they'd like to talk about their situation?
Yeah, I'm located in a quiet area of Babbage Library, but for privacy's sake, I ask that people contact me first to set an appointment rather than just stopping by. My number is 860-486-5143, or I can make an appointment via email at jim.wohl@uconn.edu. There's an adage in the ombuds field that if you're not sure where to go or are feeling stuck, the ombuds office is a good place to start. And there's a ton of information and some resources as well at my website, too.
And that website is ombuds, O-M-B-U-D-S, .uconn.edu. Check it out and don't hesitate to reach out to Jim. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with me today.
Thanks, Lori. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Until next time.